We're going to study one of the common familiar passages in the Bible, and that is Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 29, and 30. Let's read this passage. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 29, and 30. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." May the Lord add His divine blessing to the reading of His holy, infallible Word. In this passage, there are three verbs. When you say verb, it is a word that indicates an action. So a verb is an action word. Three verbs. The first one we find in verse 28. Come. That's a verb, an action word. Come. The second we find in verse 29. Take. Take. And then the third and the last one, in the same verse, verse 29, second part, learn. So come, take, and learn. These verbs are all imperatives. They are commands coming from Jesus Christ Himself. And therefore, they are extremely important and urgent. We don't want to miss them. And so with God's help, what we're going to do in this message is study these three verbs, three imperatives, one by one. So first, the verb come. Come to Christ. Look at verse 28. Jesus says, "Come unto me." Now, when Jesus says, "Come unto me," He is not just extending an invitation to us. It's not just an invitation that we can decline. It's not optional. What we have here is a command. You and I are commanded by Christ to come to Him. And so, it is a form of disobedience not to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. What it means is, if you are not coming to Jesus, you are living in sin. Think about that. That's why the wicked, the ungodly, the unbelievers are living in sin because they are not coming to Christ. Now, some of you might say, "Well, I would like to come to Jesus, but I cannot come. In the first place, who am I to come to Jesus? I am a sinner. I am spiritually lame. I don't have the spiritual ability to come to Jesus." The Bible says, "I am dead in sin and trespasses." If I am dead spiritually, how can I come to Christ? Well, you are right. You don't have the spiritual ability to come to Jesus on your own. Yes, you are right. If you are an unbeliever, you remain dead in sin and trespasses. But I want you to realize this. Please listen carefully. The same Jesus who says, "Come to me," is the same person who will enable you to come to Him. I have a good illustration for you. In John chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Jesus visited a man who had been sick for 38 years. This man could not walk on his own for 38 years. And there we read, Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. Now notice, the sick man did not question what Jesus was telling him to do. He did not say to Jesus, "Lord, don't you see I cannot walk? Why are you then asking me to rise and walk?" On the contrary, this sick person was immediately made well and responded in obedience to what Jesus had said. He rose, took up his bed, and walked. And so here's the beauty of the gospel. The Lord who says, "Come to me," is the same person who will give you the ability to come to Him so that you don't have an excuse. You cannot use your inability as an excuse for not coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the question is this: what does it mean to come to Jesus? Well, I want you to go to John chapter 6, verse 35, because this verse will help us understand the meaning of coming to Christ. John chapter 6, verse 35. John 6, verse 35. And here Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst." Now, I want you to notice the parallel between coming to Jesus and believing on Jesus. So Jesus says, "He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst." Here we learn that to come to Jesus and to believe on Him are the same. They are two different expressions with the same meaning. And so when Jesus says, "Come to me," what He means by that, come to me by faith. Not physically. Don't think that when Jesus said this to His original audience, He was asking them to come to Him physically. The coming to Christ here does not relate to geographical location. Jesus was not expecting his crowd to come to Him physically, to come forward. No. Like today, some preachers would literally ask their members to come forward. Altar call, they call it. No. Right now, where you are, as you are sitting, you can come to Christ by faith. You don't have to walk physically toward Jesus. After all, where is Jesus? We know that He ascended to heaven. And yet He is present with us by His Spirit. And so when Jesus says, "Come to me, believe in Him, put your trust in Him." Now, who are the invited here? Who are invited or commanded to come to Christ? Well, we have the answer. Let's go back to Matthew 11, verse 28. "Come unto me all all ye, plural, that labor and are heavy laden. So all are invited to come to Jesus. All of you. Therefore, if you don't come to Him, it is your own fault. Because there is this invitation, gracious invitation, although like what I said, it is not just an invitation that you can decline. It's like when you invited me to attend your birthday party, I'm not obliged to be there. I could decline that invitation. But the command that we have here in our text cannot be declined. Yes, people decline it by their own stubbornness, but that comes with a consequence. Come to Christ, all of you. It's like, if I may give you another analogy, like a mother who, after preparing a meal for her children, for her family, makes this call, all children, my children, my children, it's time to eat. Come, come to the kitchen, come to the table. It's supper time. Now, children, when you hear that, when you hear your mom calling you, and if you don't come to the table, and you go to bed hungry, it is your own fault. Because your mom has invited you, has called you to come to the table for food. You know what's interesting here is this. Jesus is calling all or inviting all to come to Him even if He knows that only those whom the Father, His Father, has given to Him will come to Him, to Christ. How do we know that? Well, because in John chapter 6, verse 44, we have this verse. And I want you to go there, please. John chapter 6, verse 44. John chapter 6, verse 44. Listen to what Jesus says here. John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me, says Jesus, except the Father which has sent me draw him. What does it mean? It means unless the Father draws you to His Son, you will not be able to come to His Son, to Jesus Christ, our Lord. And here we see God's sovereignty, that at the end of the day, the reason why we are able to come to Christ is because His Father has drawn us to Him. And by the way, in Greek, the word draw here has the idea of pulling by force or dragging with power. Now, picture this, boys and girls. When you go out fishing, let's say you go to one of our lakes here in Ontario, and you start fishing, and let's say you caught a big fish, and what you need to do now is drag that fish out of water, and you do it by force. Of course, there are techniques. I'm not a fisherman, but I understand there are techniques that you use to really lure that fish and how to drag that fish out of water. But needless to say, you do it by force. Because the truth is, do you actually think that fish wants to get out of water and be with you in your boat? No. No. So you do it by force. By power. And that's what we have here. God the Father draws us out of darkness, spiritual darkness. And He does it by the force of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the gospel. And yet, I want to add this. In the process of calling us out of darkness by force and by His power, He also makes us willing to come to Himself. That's the difference that we have between that fish and us Christians. Because God did not force me to become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I enjoy being a Christian. I enjoy being a believer. I trust that you can say the same. I hope you are not like that fish, complaining forever. I still wanted to be in the water. Were it not because of this fisherman, I would still be swimming in the water. God did not force me to become a Christian. But yes, He used His power to take me, to pull me out of spiritual darkness and to translate me into this glorious light of the gospel, to be with His Son, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says in John 6:44, no man come or can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And yet when we come to our passage, Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come unto me. And so you see the balance of God's sovereignty and human responsibility. It is by God's sovereignty that we can come to Christ. And yet we have the duty, the responsibility, there is a command to come to Jesus. And again, what's fascinating is this. Jesus did not hesitate to call all sinners to come to Him, even if He knew that only those whom His Father has drawn to Him would come to Him. And we do the same. When we proclaim the gospel, as I preach to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, at the back of my mind, I am fully aware that only God can save you. Only God can pull you out of spiritual darkness. It is not my work. I can't. I wish I could. I wish I could save you. I wish I could come to you right now and shake you spiritually, awaken you from your spiritual sleepness. But I cannot do that. But I trust the Holy Spirit that He can do that. And I tell you, once the Holy Spirit works in your heart, you cannot resist Him. Whereas in fishing, I remember fishing. Again, I'm not like Richard Brower or Harry Brower or like you that love fishing. But once in a while, I enjoy fishing. And I remember fishing, and it was a big fish, boys and girls. And that fish was trying to resist my effort to drag that fish out of water. There was that tension. The fish would not want to go to me. To make the story short, I lost that fish. The fish won. The fish was able to resist my effort to take that fish out of water. In our theology, we have what we call irresistible grace. What does it mean? It means once God effectually calls you, you cannot resist His effectual calling. You are going to be drawn toward the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not forced, not dragged, but willing. Now you are willing to come to Jesus. Now you will enjoy worshiping God. Before, you would not want to worship Him. You would not want to read His Word. You would not want to go to church. If you go to church, you use church as your bed. You sleep inside God's house. But once the Holy Spirit works in your heart, I tell you, you cannot resist Him. You cannot win over the Holy Spirit. He is so powerful for you to resist Him. He will draw you closer to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit cannot lose you. I lost that fish that resisted my effort, but not with the Holy Spirit. And by the way, I thank God for that doctrine, irresistible grace. Because if there is no irresistible grace, my flesh would not want to come to Jesus. My flesh would be content in sin. My flesh would be content living in the darkness of sin. But hallelujah, we have irresistible grace. God calls me irresistibly. And my point is simple. Yes, it is God who saves. Yes, it is God who brings us to Jesus. But you and I have the responsibility to come to Jesus. It does not excuse us. God's sovereignty does not excuse us from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And even as a preacher, you proclaim the gospel to all. You cast the gospel net upon all, even if you know that not all will be saved. Only the elect. But it is not my business to find out who the elect may be. I don't want to know that when I do evangelism. That's not my job. I'm not here to determine whether this person that I meet at the airport is one of the elect or not. My question is not, are you one of the elect? Because if not, then I don't want to waste my time talking to you about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No. I shared the gospel, and when I shared the gospel, even if that person rejects the offer of the gospel, my time is not wasted. Because I'm not sharing the gospel ultimately for that person, but for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For God who says that His word will not return to Him void. It's not a waste of time whenever we proclaim the gospel of Christ. And so we need to embrace both teachings, God's sovereignty and human responsibility. John 6:44 and Matthew 11:28. They do not contradict each other. They actually complement each other. They are friends. They don't fight. They are not enemies. God's sovereignty is not an enemy of human responsibility. You see, one of the problems of hyper-Calvinism is that they overly focus on God's sovereignty at the expense of human responsibility. So they don't want to share the gospel with others. On the other hand, you have Arminianism, another extreme. Too much emphasis on human responsibility at the expense of God's sovereignty. And so it's all about your decision. You need to make that decision. Come to Jesus. It's up to you. You can reject that grace. Well, you could, but like what I said, if God calls you effectually, there's no way that you can say no to God's effectual call. You will answer it. You will believe in Jesus. You will repent of your sin. Now, who are these people being invited here or commanded to come to Jesus? Yes, all. Well, look at our text again. Matthew 11, verse 28. Who are they? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. So they labor and are heavy laden. They are those who work hard, because the word labor signifies hard work. So they are hardworking people. They are working so hard to the point of feeling fatigue. And they are working so hard to obtain rest for their souls, to earn God's favor. And by the way, that's the teaching of the Pharisees during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees taught that salvation can be earned or spiritual rest can be obtained by the observance or works of the law. But what happens, instead of finding rest, they become more burdened or tired. Why? Because there is no rest apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to find spiritual rest, apart from Jesus, you will never ever find it. You can work all your life. You can give everything that you have in your bank account, give it to the Lord. You can serve God all your life. But without Jesus, your labor is in vain. You are wasting your time. There is no way for you to earn God's favor. You can't earn God's favor by your good works. And the more you work for your salvation, the more you will just become spiritually restless. Because only Jesus can give you rest. Paul says in Galatians 3 verse 11, "But that no man is justified by the law, by the works of the law, in the sight of God." And then verse 13, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us." You see, we have Jesus who redeemed us as believers. He redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse of the law. Which means Jesus bore the law's penalty, which was death. He died. And He also fulfilled the law's demand, which was perfect obedience. And He did it on behalf of His people. And that's why we don't need to work for our salvation. After all, we can't work for our salvation. Jesus has done it already. What we need to do now is come to Him, believe in Him. And there is a promise. What is the promise? Look at our text again. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Notice, I'm the one who can give you spiritual rest. Are you restless right now? You don't have peace? I'm the one that can give you peace. You're not happy. You're not truly happy. I'm the one that can give you true happiness. I will give you rest. And the word "give" there implies that it's a gift. It's a gift. Gift that can be received by faith, with thanksgiving. Rest for our souls. How are you this afternoon? Do you have that rest? Can you honestly say, by the grace of God, that should you die this afternoon, you will die with rest and peace, because you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Second verb, take, verse 29. So come to Christ. Second verb, imperative, take, verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you." Now, boys and girls, have you seen a yoke? It is a wooden bar used to join usually two animals at the heads or necks so that they work together. So it's like this wooden bar. You place it on the neck or head or shoulder of that animal. It is a symbol of submission. A yoke is a symbol of submission. Now, of course, in this analogy, an ox could not put a yoke on itself. The farmer has to do it for the ox. In the same way, in and of ourselves, we cannot submit to Christ. We are like that ox. Jesus has to put that yoke on us. Jesus has to make us willing to submit to Him. Nevertheless, it does not negate the command, the duty that we have here in verse 29. We are commanded to take the yoke of Jesus and place it on our shoulders. We are commanded to bow down before Jesus, to submit to His Lordship. In verse 28, the emphasis is the Saviorship of Jesus Christ. That He is the one who saves. He is the one who gives us spiritual rest. The one who gives us everlasting life. When we come to verse 29, now we have this emphasis about His Lordship. Because now He is asking us to take His yoke, to bow down before Jesus Christ. You cannot come to Jesus and not take His yoke upon you. Remember, two Sundays ago, we had this message. We said that you receive Jesus either as both Jesus and Lord or as neither. You know what's sad? People today, they want rest from Jesus. They want that rest in verse 29. But they don't want to take the responsibility to submit to Jesus, to His Lordship. They don't want the responsibility to serve Jesus. Because that yoke is also a symbol of service. As you know, boys and girls, that animal, that ox, once the yoke is placed on its shoulder, that ox is expected to work in the farm, to plow the ground. And the same is true. Jesus is also expecting those who come to Him to serve Him. But that's the thing that we don't want. There are many people today, they want Jesus as their Savior, but not as their Lord. They don't want service. They don't want submission. Well, you cannot separate the two. You cannot separate the two. The two verbs come together. Come to me and then take my yoke upon you. Are you willing to submit to Jesus? Are you willing to submit your life to Him and to put your life under the authority of His Word? Which means you're going to live not for yourself but for Him, for His glory. That means that whatever you do it in light of His Word. That this book is going to regulate your life. That's hard to do. Because by nature, we want to be our own gods, our own lords. Who are you to tell me what to do? This is my life, not with Jesus. If you come to Him, then He is going to tell you how to live, how to behave, how to worship Him, how to serve Him. It's not up to you. It is up to Jesus. Take my yoke upon you, says Jesus. And then the third verb, same verse, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you, and what's next? And learn from me. Learn from me. In the original, that verb learn is mathete. Mathete, which has the idea of discipleship. Really what Jesus is saying is this, be my pupil, be my learner, be my student, be my disciple. And so in verse 28, we have the focus on the saviorship of Jesus Christ, that He is the one who saves. In the first part of verse 29, the emphasis is about His lordship. Take my yoke upon you. Submit to me. Serve me. Now, in the second part of verse 29, learn of me or from me. The emphasis is about discipleship. And you cannot separate discipleship from the saviorship of Jesus or from His lordship. If you come to Jesus, you must be willing to come to Him wherever He goes. You obey Him, whatever He tells you to do. You learn from Him, not from the Pharisees, not from Satan, not from what the government says. Now, I'm not saying that you don't obey the government, but the moment the government says, don't worship God, worship me, then by all means we need to say, I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a follower of Jesus. I am here to imitate Jesus. One version translates that this way, become like me. We need to become like Jesus. Because that's really the end goal, the purpose of salvation. Jesus has saved us that we may become like Him. And how do we become like Jesus? By following Him, by learning from Him. And that's why you see that, right? If you are a student, you become like your teacher. Who is your teacher in this world? Who are you following? From whom are you learning? Are you a disciple of Christ? Learn from me, Jesus says. And so in conclusion, the three imperatives are inseparable. Come, take, and learn. And as Jesus ends this passage, He provides two reasons for the three commands. Look at verse 29, the last part. So take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for, that's very important, for, in Greek, that's hoti. Hoti, it indicates reason. So you can translate that word for as because. Because I am meek. Because I am lowly or humble in heart. So why are we going to come to Jesus? Now, by the way, this is Jesus talking to us. Come to me, says Jesus. Take my yoke upon you, says Jesus. Learn from me, says Jesus. Why? Why? He gives us two basic reasons. First, because of His meekness. Because Jesus is meek. He's meek. I just love to be around with a meek person. Not intimidating. Have you had that experience where it was just hard for you to come to this person because the person was too intimidating? And that happens like whenever you cross the border, right? Those border officers, I don't sense meekness in general. They can be too intimidating. You naturally become afraid. And you begin to pray when you see that the green sign, when it's your turn to appear. You don't have to be afraid of Jesus. He's not intimidating. He's so meek, so gentle. And then another reason, He is lowly in spirit. He's humble. He's humble. He's not like me. He's not like you, because you and I are proud. That's our nature. But Jesus, you talk about humility. Here you have the Son of God who left the glory of heaven. He came down to this earth. He condescended, was born in a manger. And all the way He went to the cross of Calvary to die. What a humility. He became obedient even unto death. He's so inviting. He's so gracious. So kind, so merciful. Yes, yes. Like what I said, He ascended to heaven. But the same Jesus who uttered these words many, many years ago is alive. Right now, Jesus is speaking to you presently from His Word. He's saying, come to Me. Come to Me. Take My yoke upon you. Learn from Me. Be My disciple. Follow Me. Imitate Me. And I will give you rest. By the way, Jesus repeats that again. Look at the last part of verse 29. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. And then in verse 30, I will end here. He gives an explanation. It's almost like a P.S. P.S. Four. And this is different from the first four, which is translated as because. This four is an explanation. It is used to intensify what has already been said. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. In comparison to the yoke of Satan, because listen to this. There are two yokes in this world. The yoke of Satan and the yoke of Jesus. Right now, you are either having the yoke of Satan, serving him, or the yoke of Jesus, serving Jesus. There is no in between. Jesus says, My yoke, compared to the yoke of Satan, is easy. It is easy, or it is good, it is better. It is far, far better than the yoke of Satan. Don't you want to serve Me? That's what Jesus is saying here. Why serve Satan? Why use your energy for Satan? Why use your life for Satan? My yoke is easy. And then He says, then my burden is light. Which implies that Christianity is not burdenless. Sometimes we think once you become a Christian, that's it. You're not going to experience a burden. No, there is burden. But Jesus says, that is light. My burden is light. It is, really what He's saying is this. It is better to be a believer than to be an unbeliever. My burden is light. We use that term, don't we? Sometimes we say, yeah, I have the burden to talk to this person and share the gospel. I have the burden to serve as an elder or as a deacon. I have that burden to serve this church as their pastor. But that burden is light. It's wonderful. Jesus is saying, don't you get it? It is more wonderful to be My follower than to be Satan's follower. Because when you come to Me, I will give you rest. You will have peace. You will have everlasting life. You can go to bed with peace anytime. You can come to Me anytime. You have a problem, you can come to Me. You need help, I can help you. Do you actually think that Satan can help you? No. And so come to Christ and come to Him just as you are. And that's the beauty of the gospel too. I want to confess this, and maybe you can relate to me. If a certain homeless person wants to come to our house, and this person has not taken a shower for a month, filled with wounds, open wounds, and he just stinks. Would you actually enjoy having that person around your table with your family and enjoy the meal? Probably not. You might ask that person in a way that he will not be offended. By the way, would you mind if you just clean up? Just clean yourself. See, with Christ, we don't need to do that because we are 10,000 worse than that homeless person. I stink, you stink. But Jesus is saying, I don't care about how you stink, how you look. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us indeed, Lord, to come to you, take your yoke upon ourselves, and to learn from you, to be your true disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.